A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Another amazing Milwaukee and Wisconsin weekend is upon us. All about community, growing community. We're finding those ways on the show to make your part of the world just a little bit better, like the good people at Horicon Bank do each and every day. Building community, that's what business is all about. This weekend, the Northwestern Mutual annual meeting is in town. It's the 145th annual meeting right here in downtown Milwaukee. Gets underway today, Saturday. Last year, all the events were held at the Summerfest grounds. This year, they're moving the majority of things to Fiserv Forum. But here's what we're looking at. 11,000 financial advisors, family members, and staff from all around the country will be in town through Tuesday. So the company's annual meeting, and what I love about it is that Milwaukee-based, and they commit to doing this each and every year right here in the heart of the state. They focus on peer-to-peer information sharing, development and education, all that stuff you do at a regular conference, right? But also, what Northwestern Mutual does at this event is that they recognize their advisors for whatever goals they're reaching with their teams, their achievements. So you see those lanyards, right, and those name badges as you're walking around downtown Milwaukee. They all have different colors, different stars, and different dedications on them. I love to see it because it's the moms, the dads, the families walking around. They're filling the restaurants. They're filling the hotels. A number I got from the company, attendees this year are going to occupy more than 28 Milwaukee area hotels. So you're looking at 11,000 financial advisors from Northwestern Mutual last year, an economic impact of nearly $21 million. So there's a lot to celebrate in the Northwestern Mutual world, but just that impact alone is truly important. Now, the big thing, I know you're kind of wondering, maybe you have a friend who works at Northwestern Mutual and you're like, ooh, maybe they can get me into this regular secret show that they do every year. They do a secret concert. They don't announce it in advance. I tried to find out. I asked a lot of questions. I kind of ran through my contacts and God, I could not figure out who the special big show for Northwestern Mutual is going to be this year. In the past, Kenny Chesney, Cody Johnson, you go years back, had Imagine Dragons, Keith Urban, Sheryl Crow, Jerry Seinfeld did a show at this event, the Beach Boys, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, Jimmy Buffett, Thomas Rhett. The headliners are big, big names. Northwestern Mutual tells me, we recognize there's a strong interest each year in our special guest performers, so we're grateful that they can be a part of this one-of-a-kind experience. However, we're committed to the artists that before the show takes place, we won't share any details about these artists or confirm reports about who may be playing because we want this to be special. Indeed, it's going to be special no matter what, but I still want to know. I'm hearing buzz that it could be Eric Church, and I'm checking Eric Church's schedule. He's in Red Rocks. There's an open gap there. He's coming to Green Bay and Milwaukee, but not until September. That's just a guess. I have no authority on that, but there's a chance, maybe, Eric Church plays the Northwestern Mutual show. Speaking of summer and big events, obviously Summerfest is done. It's Bastille Days this weekend. Kudos on the big opening night, the Storm of the Bastille. The race, truly one of my favorite events in downtown Milwaukee. But look at the numbers quickly for Summerfest 2025. A total of 602,231 people attended Summerfest. It's about an 8% increase. You do the quick math over last year. I like to look at the per day. 66,915 people, through the gates at Summerfest each and every day for the 9 days of the festival. That's a really, really solid number. I think sometimes, remember, if you've lived in the greater Milwaukee area for long enough, way back in the day, Summerfest used to report attendance numbers daily. And it used to be this thing like, oh, wow, they're at 60,000, 100,000, whatever the number was. And I think sometimes it worked against them because people would get all excited. And when the numbers dropped from day to day, it wouldn't be as exciting. You go back to 2019, I pulled all these attendance figures. 2019, they were looking at 718,000 attendees. You go back to 2008, it was 831,000 24. So that's 75,000 plus people per day. Obviously, things have changed and the nature of the summer festival music game has changed. But still, no matter what, you're looking at 66,000 people per day coming through the gates to attend a marquee event right here in beautiful Milwaukee. Summerfest is going to stick to that 3-day format next year. It will be June 18th through the 20th. June 25th through the 27th, and July 2nd, ending on the 4th of July. I'm guessing that number is going to continue to creep up. They had pretty good weather this year, and that dictates a lot of the attendance, but the acts were wonderful too. I think Summerfest continues to grow its community each and every year. When we come back, as we do each and every beginning of the upswing, we're going to go to up.
Now it's time for the
two
up on the upswing.
Two up, two things in the business and community world that I'm seeing that you need to know about right now. Maybe you missed this week. If you don't read LinkedIn like a daily news source, I'll take care of that for you. Don't worry about it. LinkedIn had a big new survey with exclusive data that showcased the fastest growing metropolitan areas in the United States. Now, it was called Cities on the Rise, and they analyzed LinkedIn's exclusive labor market data to identify 25 emerging metro areas where hiring was accelerating, where job postings were surging, and talent migration is shaping local communities. This is a perfect two-up because our next guest is going to be talking about the nature of job postings and the creative economy, especially in the Midwest. So the ranking spotlights mid-sized U.S. cities with vibrant job markets and growing professional communities. Any guesses on what came in number one? I'm going to run 1 through 5 for you really quickly here. Grand Rapids, number one on the list. Grand Rapids has a really, truly impressive growing tech scene and a big insurance industry that's booming there. Number one, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Number two, Boise, Idaho. The metro area around Boise. Why? Mainly semiconductors drive in that community and that infrastructure there. Number three, Harrisburg, the capital of Pennsylvania. Harrisburg growing rapidly. Number four, what's the capital city of New York State? Anyone? Albany. Albany Metro, located on the eastern part of the state, right on the Hudson River, about 150 miles north of New York City. Obviously, a good adjacent growth area for New York. Albany Metro coming in number four in the fastest growing metros in the LinkedIn survey that was just debuted this week. Number five? Well, I saved the best for last, I think. Metropolitan Milwaukee. Number five, this is from LinkedIn. Why Milwaukee is on the rise. Tourism continues to drive billions of dollars of economic growth in Wisconsin, while a booming local housing market and an influx of tech jobs are making it increasingly attractive to live, work, and play in Milwaukee. The top industries, LinkedIn says, in Metro Milwaukee: manufacturing, we all know, healthcare, professional services, average income, $72,315, and the average price of a home listing, Metro Milwaukee now topping the $500,000 mark at $502,220. Good job, Milwaukee, making the top five of LinkedIn's fastest growing metro list. Second up, Easttown, getting a new hotel. This is a project that's been in the works for years. A hotel near Cathedral Square, right where Bastille Days is taking place this weekend, could finally open this fall after years of delay. It's in the century-old Adams Building that's right on Jackson Street. I think it's 790 North Jackson. It was once a car sales showroom back in the day. It was an office building. It kind of found new life in 2020 when the building owner, Joel Lee, of Van Buren Management, began preparing the building for a hotel renovation. It's taken some time to put it all together, but the hotel's operating partner is the former CEO at Visit Milwaukee, Paul Upchurch. They have a boutique hotel brand that will open initially with 11 rooms. So it's going to be small, but it's going to have a food and beverage component on the first floor that's going to complement the area really well. I think this is going to be a wonderful addition to the Easttown areas. Floors 3 and 4 at that building are still being worked on, but I'm guessing they're probably going to evolve into some kind of event space or something along those lines. We're going to find out the name later in the year. Recently, I think about 2 years ago, they were calling it the Marlow. Now, they're going to rework that a little bit, do some new branding, and debut a new name. But watch for that. Another new hotel coming to the downtown area. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. If you're looking for a job, you're in the job market right now. The conventional wisdom might say that summers and holidays, not the best time to look for a job. I totally disagree. I say dive in during the slower times, right? You're going to stand out a little bit more. It's much more creative play. And when you look at the job market, especially in the Midwest here in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, the growth in the job market is coming from that creative sector. These states are full of ad agencies, creative types, the arts, marketing jobs, and more. And another reason why the creative economy is really flourishing in the Midwest is because we have companies that have creatively packaged and promoted positions, like Big Shoes Network has done with its innovative business model through the years. It's a job board for not only creatives, but for marketing, advertising, and much more. Today, one of the founders of the company, Martha Kerrigan, joins us, and one of the new owners of the company, Tim Sigalski, joins us both in the studio, taking time out of their day to talk jobs, job postings, the business of job listings. And also, I'm really looking forward to this, how you transition a legacy company to new owners. Because I'm sure there's a lot involved, but there's passion points. And you kind of got to find that right mix of, hey, who are the right stewards to take on the next steps for a business. So, Martha, I appreciate you being here today with us. Give us a brief overview of your vision when you and Jeff started the company. What year was that?
It was 2006.
2006. Okay. So as you were looking at the market in 2006, what was that inspiration to start a jobs network?
Well, we found that the Midwest kind of had a reputation as the death knell for creative careers, and that's what we heard, but that was not the truth that we were finding. So we wanted to provide opportunity. But the second thing is, hopping on that, we created an email that would announce what were the latest jobs that we had seen recently and sent it out to the people we knew. And that list grew exponentially. And it was when companies started contacting us and saying, so, how much do you charge for us to get our job posting on this list? That we were like, maybe this could be something.
And you were kind of at a point where, you know, the career builders, the Indeeds, and the larger job sites were kind of still up and coming. So you had an interesting niche to really go a little smaller and to stand out. Was that part of the early thinking?
Yeah, I mean, we just really wanted it to be a personalized touch, so it wasn't quite as cold and callous, and it's only become more so. But also, there just wasn't anything like this back then. So we just wanted to be that source.
Yeah. So when you look back to the origins of the company, Martha, what were some of the biggest challenges and successes early on, you know, to compete with the LinkedIns, the Career Builders, the Indeeds, the Monsters, the ZipRecruiters? What was the thinking there? And, you know, like any business, I'm sure you had your kind of highs and lows early on.
Jeff, it was 2006. There was no LinkedIn. There was no Twitter. There was no Instagram. And most of those other names had either just started or actually didn't have a marketing function. So one of the successes was we found that Monster and a couple of the other known entities were actually using us to recruit for the talent that they were looking for in the marketing, advertising, PR space. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
The challenge is we are, and this is true today as it was back then, we are a leading economic indicator. So when things are going to start going south economically, we're hit first and early on. However, we're also the one place where you'll see things starting to bounce back. Mm-hmm. And so we've seen some of our best years following our worst years.
Hmm. How do you feel like the Midwest creative economy and community helped shape the direction of your company?
A really great example is the man sitting next to me here. Just a great combination of amazing creativity with a common sense element that balances that quite well, and a tremendous depth of loyalty, both when you find a new product or a new service and you like it, you stay with it, and you tell other people mm-hmm. all about it. And so Tim has been one of our greatest advocates for a long time and has provided amazing word of mouth. And it also helps that he's in education. So, you know, he's telling the people that are feeding the pipeline about Big Shoes as yeah. well. So,
Tim, give us your overview story a bit. And you've been involved in a lot of things in the community and now are kind of stepping into, you know, a bit of a new space for you business-wise. But give us your overview.
Well, that's really, really kind of you to say, Martha. You know, I see myself as, you know, part of like a dot in the connective tissue of Big Shoes Network. So that's very nice of you to say. But I feel like what Big Shoes has done and what I've seen myself be part of is a community. So you connect people. I've been a Big Shoes email subscriber and follower for probably, you know, close to 20 years now since it started. And so I have been part of brands that have really had a community, a built-in community. I've worked in digital marketing for almost 20 years. Marquette University, Marquette University High School, and Sprecher Brewery. I've also been an adjunct professor for almost 15 years. So just really, I've used Big Shoes myself as a resource to share with people I know who reach out to me and say, I'm looking for a job or I have a place to fill. I can't tell you how many times as a professor, people would come to me and say, are you, you know, do you have some interns you could recommend? And, you know, I'd have people to recommend to them, but I'd say, have you heard of Big Shoes Network? Are you using Big Shoes Network? That's where you can, you know, instantly get connected with a hyper-local, a regional, you know, people who are very intentional about being part of this community and looking for jobs that you're looking to fill. So, you know, I've always, you know, felt part of that community. And now just, you know, I think just continuing in this role, you know, just helping those connections flourish.
We're talking with Tim Sigalski. Tim is one of the new owners, along with a business partner, Jason Perry, of the Big Shoes Network, and Martha Kerrigan, one of the original founders of the company. When we come back, I have a quick story. Truly, just yesterday, I was sitting with a recent college graduate, and she asked me, how do I best in Milwaukee find the job that's perfect for me? You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the state of the creative job market in the greater Milwaukee area and actually the Midwest. Tim Sigalski is one of the new owners of Big Shoes Network, founding partner. Martha Kerrigan also mm-hmm. joins us in studio today. So, Tim, as you were looking for new opportunities, why are you jumping into the jobs classified? And I put mm-hmm. classified in quotes there, but why are you jumping into this space now?
Yeah, so the real story, this is how it actually happened. I've been friends with Jeff and Martha for a number of years. A couple of years ago, when I was talking with Jeff, he started floating the idea of retirement and what comes next.
Okay.
And that sort of planted the seed. And at that time, I wasn't thinking, oh, yeah, this is something that I can take on. But, and this sounds made up, but it's not, I went to bed one night and had a dream that that Big Shoes was in my future and I would help continue the website. I don't know if you remember, Martha, me telling you that story. You know, and you know, you have dreams, you know, and dreams don't always come true.
No, but they happen for a reason.
They
often,
may happen
right?
for a reason. So I, you know, one of the first people I talked with after my wife was my good friend Jason Perry, and he's a confidant, and we've been running partners and friends for a number of years, worked together at Marquette. And I floated the idea to him, and he said, you know, if this were to become a reality, would you want a partner and need a partner? And I was like, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So this is something, you know, we have other ventures, but this is something that we can come together and partner on with my kind of background, his network and expertise, and then get awesome. I say we have a super intern as well, and his son, who's a marketing major at UW-Madison.
All right.
So those were kind of the logistics. Martha can kind of talk to, you know, why we made the transition. But I can also just say one other thing. Martha and Jeff have been so amazing in this process that we're still continuing and still working together. We have paperwork in front of us because paperwork never ends. But that sort of transition and mentoring and handoff over the last few months of like, this is how we do things. This is how things have historically been, and then, you know, this is what you may or may not want to do, has been so helpful, kind of as we look to the future.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems like kind of a mark of doing business in the Midwest. It's often about relationships and finding that right opportunity, and sometimes you don't know when you ask the question 2 years ago that it's going to get to this point, and that's, you know, establishing and building community is so important. As you look at the kind of the job seeker lens, Martha, what advice are you giving to job seekers now? As I don't know, the market, you know, there's a bit of uncertainty out there, but it was interesting. And I'm gonna say it this way: I was sitting yesterday with a recent college graduate. She came to me through a friend of the family, just graduated from Indiana, and wants to come back home and stay in Milwaukee, advertising, marketing, creative sector. And the first thing I said to her, and I'm not just saying this to talk you guys up, but I said, have you looked at Big Shoes Network? And she said, yes, that was one of the first places I went because it was a curated spot. And she was having a really hard time finding the local opportunities on the bigger job boards. So as you move forward, from a job seeker lens, you know, what's that advice that you're giving to especially recent college grads to find creative marketing job opportunities?
Good question. One of the things that I have been saying is you're right. It has been a tighter market lately, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But I do encourage students, recent grads, to be patient. We live in a magic pill world where you can just take a pill and feel better, right? And that it doesn't work that way in the job seeker world, or not anywhere else, actually, if you really want to know the truth. You did exactly the right thing, which was connect with Big Shoes. But Big Shoes is a company, and we absolutely have great fresh jobs, right? Mm-hmm. And they're very targeted, and I love that about our company. But think about who the buyer is. It's not a company. It's someone on the other receiving end of when you respond to an opportunity. And so I recommend that those individuals get connected to people. Yeah. Just the network of Uncle Jeff. That's just a great thing to start with, right?
Yeah.
But also connect with Tim Sigelski. He's now a co-owner of Big Shoes Network. And join the Big Shoes Network LinkedIn group because we have 15,000 people strong and it's a highly curated group. And I can tell you, our hiring managers are going to post an opportunity there before they're ever going to pay Big Shoes to actually broadcast it out elsewhere. Yeah. And that's actually how we generate additional business for ourselves. We're like, hey, we noticed you did this, right. So why don't you try Big Shoes Network? And it works that way. So those connections cannot be more valuable, and then keep those connections going. I think as an entry-level person and in the Midwest humble brag, sometimes people think, well, why would they want to be connected with me? I, I don't, if I ask, you know, Tim Skelsky for a connection request on LinkedIn, he'll say, he'll ignore it. So what? You know, like, that's not insulting. But what's more likely to happen is then you'd have that connection. Don't drop the mic then.
Yeah.
Say thank you. Then say, would you take a look at my resume? Or have you heard of any opportunities in this? Or I saw this opportunity at Big Shoes. Tell me about that.
Right.
So those kinds of things.
Tim, what are you seeing from an employer lens right now in terms of creative talent? I mean, through your position at Marquette University High School, past position at Sprecher, like, what are employers looking for in that creative space?
So the thing I've seen from employers, and the same thing as I've really always told, you know, current students, former students, is you have to keep your skills current. Mm-hmm. Things change so fast, and that goes for double, triple today. So employers want to see, you know, qualifications, and sometimes it's hyper-specialized. It, you know, it's these job titles that, like, didn't exist, you know, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. And I think we're going to continue to see that evolution in job titles and in certifications and roles is, like, we need someone who is an expert. You know, it could have been in, you know, Google Analytics or Google Ads, you know, a couple of years ago. It might be prompt engineering, you know, tomorrow. So this idea of, like, continually becoming an expert in your field, and you may have to drill down. You know, it's like the medical field or whatever, where it's like people are hyper specialized in, you know, in one field, and you can grow from there. You can expand, but at least, like, hey, know whatever you choose to specialize in better than anyone that, you know, you're around, and then continue to learn so you don't rest on your laurels, because that changes so fast.
When we come back, I want to have you both outline the future plans for Big Shoes Network. We'll do some rapid fire questions around the creative economy and what's coming next in the jobs world. I always say, from a job perspective, especially right out of school, do what you love, but know that you might not be able to do it right away. And you know what? That's okay. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The vision for the future for Big Shoes Network involves two of our guests, Tim Skalski and Martha Kerrigan. Tim, as you look at the opportunity ahead for you and your business partner and kind of the new team taking over the company, what are your priorities in terms of what's next?
So the first thing was just keep doing what Martha and Jeff have done. Like, obviously, it's worked for 20 years. Don't mess it up is the first thing, is don't rock the boat too much. Continue that community. That's really first and foremost what Jason and I set out to do, is make this a service that's valuable to people. It's been such a big part of people's lives. Like, getting a job or filling a job is so central to what we do, that people go there because they trust it. Yeah. So you go there and continue that trusted service. I know it's made a difference in my life. I know so many others when I talk to them. So that's the first thing, is just
do you watch the bigger competition as you're planning, or does that scare you?
So there is a company recently that went bankrupt in this, and I won't name it. You can probably Google it and find it, but it was huge. And at the same time, yesterday I saw a post about 150 niche job sites to check out. And those two things, I think, both tell the same story, is that people want to go to smaller places that they trust. And so I don't really, and I know Jason, the same thing, we don't necessarily look at the big boys of competition.
Right.
What we do, what I do, is look at what are other niches and niche job boards out there, and how do they tell the story. And they're not our direct competitors, because Big Shoes is creative jobs in the Midwest. And there might be one for, you know, insert job title in Ohio or, you know, wherever. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing to reach their audience is inspiring, I think, and what we strive to do too.
Yeah. I had a mentor several years ago say, Jeff, ignore the competition, but keep a little eye on it.
Right.
You know, don't get obsessed, because when you do, like, it throws you off track in terms of what you want to do. But as you look at that, Tim, what you want to do, how do you balance that? We want to make change. We really want to innovate and evolve, but we want to stay true to what the founders have built.
Yeah, so we and you've I sent you the prototype. So yeah, feel free to check it out.
I'll give you my feedback. Yes.
Yeah, please give me. We're right now in like deep feedback mode. A couple different iterations built a new website refresh that still has the same core functionality, has the resources that Big Shoes was known for, has a couple of search functionality and things to add to it, but it's essentially the Big Shoes Network website. Mm-hmm. And that sounds, you know, like kind of foundational and basic because it is. It's and that's what I've worked on my last couple big projects at the brands I've worked with is a website that is fully functional in 2025. That's not going away. Right. Even in the world of AI and Google AI interview overviews, you still need a website. You need it to perform well. So we're looking to launch that. Martha has been very helpful in kind of like planning this out because she's the most detail-oriented person I think I've met. And what we can do to kind of like make this a seamless transition for people who are using the current site and then going to a new site. Maybe around Labor Day. I hesitate to say that out loud publicly, but maybe we're looking at something like that to launch a new site.
And Martha, from a founder perspective, do you have, is there that anxiety that, oh, we're selling and we're moving on and now I got to find something new? Or what's that seamless process for you moving forward? Do you want it to be seamless, I'm guessing?
Sure.
Yes.
Of course. I'm not good with change even when it's good. Mm-hmm. So it takes me 6 months to get used to anything. Mm. But one of the things that let it be known that we actually had a choice of people or entities to sell to.
Yeah.
And we specifically selected, we were just so thrilled that Tim and Jason wanted to be part of this because they lead with integrity. And that was really a big issue for us to serve the community. Had we not sold, we were looking at needing to upgrade the website.
Right.
They're doing some really cool
hire teams and
yeah, and they're doing cool stuff with the email. We have a subscriber email that goes out twice a week. They're going to be doing some really cool segmentation, and overall, it's just more visual. So those things, you know, we're in marketing. Of course, we see those things and
right.
knew that they were going to happen. But when Tim mentioned the need to be a lifelong learner in your career, he personifies it. Jason, I don't know as well, but he's so funny. I'm like, he makes me laugh all the time. So, you know, those two characteristics I just think are excellent because they live, eat, and breathe that.
Yeah.
So if you want to learn about AI prompt engineering, read some of the blogs that Tim has written. So, I mean, just cool taking it to the next level.
Even better, I'll say this, Tim, one of the things I appreciate about you is that not only in your LinkedIn profile do you embrace the walking meeting, but you love the walking meeting and it is a thing in your world. So like walking through downtown or whatever the neighborhood is, seeing you in Whitefish Bay, just being able to connect, you have that type of curiosity within you that I think will always make you a success no matter what you do. So kudos.
I just like to walk, too.
Yeah, and that is good. It's good and good for
you. If I have no one to meet with, I'll walk by myself.
We'll be right back. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing, and we are proudly presented by Horicon Bank. So a couple final rapid fire here. Your top tip for someone applying for a creative marketing job today. Martha.
I'll lead with where Tim left off, which is if you're looking at opportunities and you don't have that skill set, go get it. It has never been easier and more affordable to go get that certificate, to keep learning, to learn from other people. So as they're presenting stuff, you can learn about that. The other piece of that is earlier in this podcast, Tim mentioned, you know, Google Analytics and that kind of thing. In the creative space, I think people duck and cover into creative in order to get around being mathy, you know, to have a math brain.
Hmm.
And so I would say, even if it is unpleasant to have to learn and know, you cannot be in this industry any longer without having solid math skills in some respect.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable in anything in life, but especially as you're applying for jobs.
Yes. Analytics. I talked to a guy yesterday. He's a hiring manager at a really great agency. And he said, if I meet one more candidate who has never touched Excel, he's going to pull his hair out. So it isn't AI either. So, so those two things.
Tim?
Actually, I'll go back to where you started and echo what Martha said, where you talked about, like, you know, almost counter-programming and diving in the summer. We see traffic, you know, go down naturally every weekend and over holidays in slow times. But also, if I'm a hiring manager and I need to hire now, I want to get someone in. I was talking to someone recently, and he's like, I hope we get some applications in over the weekend. And I'm like, I hope so too. I don't know if you will, but if you're listening to this, like, that's a good time to stand out. Mm-hmm. Send something in during the slow periods. Obviously, just as something's been posted is a good time. But, you know, we post jobs on Fridays and, you know, send out the email on Friday and that kind of thing. If you're having weekend plans, great. I want, you know, it's good to have a life and to have work-life balance. But, you know, it can also be a good time to counter-program and reach people when other people are not.
Yes. All right. Your one word that best describes the creative scene, let's say in the Midwest. If you're listening to this from outside the Midwest, sometimes people have perceptions of what the Midwest is or isn't. But from a creative lens, your one word that defines Midwest, Tim.
I hope this isn't too cliche, but hardworking. It's the first thing that comes into mind is hardworking. You can be creative. It can be a hustler that works hard and, you know, does what you need to do to, like, find what you want.
Very good. Martha?
From the employer perspective, gold mine. Like, this is the place to be. I just talked to someone who said, this isn't the flyover country anymore. It's the destination. So, gold mine.
2025 is the year of the Midwest. I've been saying it all year long, and it's coming to fruition. Tim, Martha, I appreciate your time, and all the best with the business transition and everything else you're doing in your lives.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Of course. We're thankful for our partnership with Horicon Bank. They're doing banking differently, always there to serve you and your business.